Grace, greetings, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for this 15th of November. I'm Paul White. We are 1 week away from our meeting in North Georgia, our monthly meeting, and we would love to have you if you're in the area or traveling through the area or make plans to come to the area. We meet at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Directions are on my website, paulwhiteministries.com/schedule, and you can see where we meet. It's at the Sterling on the Lake Clubhouse Theater. It's the same place we have our Tuesday evening meetings. We are continuing our series, Silencing the Lamb, and we would love to have you join us for that. Today, I thought I would take you on a little bit of a Bible study, continuing through the book of Psalms, but show you a passage of Scripture that becomes very important in the New Testament. It's from Psalms 95. Psalm 95 is 11 verses long. It's a call to worship and obedience, and it literally does exactly that, at least in the first seven verses. It's the, "Oh, come, let us sing. Oh, come, let us worship." And it just lifts God up. It says he's our God. Verse 7, "We're the people of his pasture, we're the sheep of his hand." And then there is somewhat of a turn in the middle of the seventh verse. And that turn involves a retelling of Israel's journey out of the land of Egypt. A retelling is probably too big of a way to say it. It doesn't take very long. It's just a few verses. But it accents how Israel went into rebellion, how they tested and tried God, how God was grieved with a generation in the wilderness, and promised that they weren't going to enter into rest. Let me read for you Psalm 95, the middle of verse 7 through the end of the psalm. "Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the day of rebellion, as in the day of trial in the wilderness. When your fathers tested me, they tried me, though they saw my work. For 40 years I was grieved with that generation and said, 'It's a people who go astray in their hearts. They do not know my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest.'" Now I want to leave Psalm 95. I want to jump into the third chapter of the book of Hebrews. We are not 100% sure who wrote the book of Hebrews. It's been attributed to Paul by many scholars, but there's a large group scholarship, and probably actually in biblical scholar circles, a majority of biblical scholars do not think Paul wrote the book of Hebrews for several reasons I won't get too into at this point. We've talked about that before. Whoever wrote it with a little different style Greek than the Apostle Paul wrote his letters, but they were also quite versed in Hebrew studies. They understood Torah. They understood the Psalms. They quote the Old Testament extensively. They quote from all over the place in the Old Testament, from the prophets, major prophets, minor prophets, songbook, Torah. They're pretty complete top to bottom. But in the third and fourth chapter, the author, whoever he or she might be, really locks in on the theme of the 95th Psalm. They go to it, they come back to it, and then they come back to it again, and then they come back to it again. If you read from Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7, down into about the midway point through chapter 4, they quote from the 95th Psalm four times. Now, I don't want to read every single one of them, but I do want to show you why that 95th Psalm becomes so important to the writer of Hebrews. He says in verse 7 of chapter 3, "Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion." That's the middle of Psalms 95:7. And notice that the author of Hebrews claims it's the Holy Spirit who's talking in Psalm 95. And that's one of the reasons why we refer to the writings of the Old Testament as the voice of God or the voice of the Holy Spirit. We are not to assume that every single thing we read in the Old Testament is the voice of the Holy Spirit. I mean, look at Job's quote-unquote friends. They're saying things that by the end of the book, they all get severely rebuked for. Well, so you can't just take what Job's friends are saying and go, well, it's in the Bible, must be the Holy Ghost. Doesn't work that way. But there are times when it does work that way. And Hebrews 3:7 is an example of how the author of Hebrews looked at Psalm 95. So he got, when you're getting to the middle of Psalm 95, he said, the Holy Spirit's talking. What's the Holy Spirit saying? Well, that's where he gives that review about the children of Israel testing God, seeing his works for 40 years. God's angry with that generation and swears they won't enter into his rest. Now, listen to the commentary from Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. Brethren, beware, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we've become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said, and here comes his second quote from Psalm 95, today if you'll hear his voice, don't harden your hearts as in the rebellion, for who having heard rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt, led by Moses? Now with him, whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? To whom did he swear they wouldn't enter into his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we could see that they did not enter in because of unbelief. And I don't want to read every verse, but you get into chapter 4, he quotes Psalms 95 again, comments on it, throws in a quote from Genesis, quotes Psalms 95 again, so quotes Psalms 95 again. He keeps talking about it, and it's all rotates around this thought. Israel missed rest because they did not believe. The culminating verse is Hebrews 3:19. We see they couldn't enter in because of unbelief. And then he turns it on his audience and says, therefore, don't fail to believe, because if you don't believe, you miss out on rest. That's verse 9 of chapter 4. There remains a rest for the people of God, for the man who has entered his rest has ceased from his works in the same way God ceased from his. So how do I know if I'm in rest? I'm not working for my salvation. I'm not working for the anointing. I'm not working for favor. If I'm working for those things, then I have not entered into his rest, because if I had entered into his rest, I would cease from my labors in the same way he ceased from his. And the author is saying, why aren't people at rest? Because they're repeating the Israel story. They're failing to believe God, and therefore, they're forbidden from entering a promised land. This chapter, amazingly, is not about natural possession. It's not about a physical piece of property, because the New Testament does not teach that the fulfillment of the promise of God is a piece of property. We've done that. The modern church teaches that Israel needs a piece of property. We've added that to the text. The New Testament doesn't teach Israel needs a piece of property. The New Testament teaches we don't want to make the same mistake Israel made in failing to believe God. Because if we fail to believe God, we don't rest. And rest is not connected to property. It's connected to a person, and his name is Jesus. I hope you rest today on this wonderful Lord's Day, and we'll see you again tomorrow. God bless.